This is Tofu Dave, your community radio host for Between the Covers on Literature Quickie, another quickie on your community radio station. And today, I have James Kaplan, the author of Three Shades of Blue, a look at some of the jazz greats, Miles, Coltrane, Bill Evans, and the lost empire of cool. Hello, James. How are you today?
Dave, I'm delighted to be here with you today.
You know, we love jazz on community radio. One of our longtime hosts was a host also at the local North Carolina Central station. He did a jazz show here for years and years. And let me tell you, Miles was one of Larry Thomas's heroes, also mine. I want to get right into it. I know that way back in 59, Miles did a classic recording that you sort of focus on in your book. Tell me a little about that iconic recording.
The album was called Kind of Blue, and it's kind of it is the pivot of my book. I talk about Miles, whose album it was, and the great John Coltrane and the great Bill Evans, as the three geniuses of Kind of Blue. Of course, there were three other musicians on the album. There were Paul Chambers, Jimmy Cobb, and Cannonball Adderley, and all great musicians. But I posit that the geniuses of the album were Miles and Coltrane and Evans, and Miles indeed said that he built the album around the piano playing of Bill Evans. It's an album that has held up, and more than held up. It is arguably the best-selling jazz album of all time, and arguably the best-loved jazz album of all time.
Yeah, and you know, all jazz people reference it. It was such an incredible, to me, effervescence in the early jazz world around that time, late 50s, early 60s. That was a real bubbly time that has continued its influence, I think, sort of unusually now for, what, 50 years or so, right?
Yeah, well, 65 years it's going to be in March.
Boy.
Yeah, crazy. And it was, you're right, it was an effervescent time. It was a bubbly time, but then you could pinpoint it pretty much to the Sunday night, February 9th, 1964, the Ed Sullivan Show and these four young men from Liverpool. And that was pretty much, in a lot of ways, the death knell of jazz as a widely popular, American, institution. It was torpedoed at that moment by rock and roll. And of course it has lived on and it remains vibrant today. But in today's world of 1,000 cultural tribes or maybe 10,000 cultural tribes, jazz has become, sadly more of a niche, art than, much more of a niche art than it was in 1959 when it was really a national institution.
Well, some people now refer to jazz as the true American folk music, right? Now, how do you react to that kind of view?
I say that jazz is America's great indigenous art form. You can point to abstract expressionism, perhaps as a branch of painting that grew up in America. But jazz it's a world music. It's a world art, and its birthplace was America, and its birthplace and its progenitors were dozens upon dozens of great geniuses, black at the beginning, but along the way, a white as well.
Now, I want to get to a North Carolina connection, maybe a little tenuous for you, but
not at
Monk,
all. Not at
well,
all.
Monk is one of my heroes, and he actually was born in North Carolina. I think he left
Rocky Mount.
Years old. swearing he'd never go back to North Carolina. and was New York based. And in my mind, and I'm raising this because I've got a lot of jazz listeners here who know things about jazz. So I always, in my mind, associate sort of Monk with New York City jazz scene.
Yes.
Then I associate like Miles with sort of L.A., California. And maybe I'm wrong in this. What do you think about this mental set I have?
Okay. Well, first of all, let's not leave out John Coltrane, who also hails from North Carolina. So there you have two great geniuses of jazz, two foundational figures of jazz from North Carolina.
Right.
Monk is certainly New York. And yes, he did have some difficulties with his origins, and he loved New York. But let's not forget that Miles, who came from St. Louis, came from Illinois to New York City when he was 19 years old. He told his father he was going to go to Juilliard, but in very short order dropped out of Juilliard because what he really wanted, his true agenda, Miles' true agenda in coming to New York, was to find Bird and Dizzy, was to find Dizzy Gillespie and Charlie Parker and to play with them. And in very short order, he was playing with them and dropped out of Juilliard. So I think of Miles very much as a New York figure as well. And in fact, I think of it's been said before, so it's not an original thought with me, but bebop, that great cubism of jazz that sprang up in the middle of World War II and lasted really until the death of Bird in 55. Bebop is New York. The two are interchangeable, are synonymous, but we should always remember the origins of all the great musicians, Charlie Parker from Kansas City and Dizzy Gillespie from down south to Philadelphia. So many of the musicians, including Coltrane, came through Philadelphia on their way to New York. But all these great cities around the country contributed to jazz. And so it's not just New York. It's New York on the receiving end of these great artists.
A good point, James. James Kaplan, the author of Three Shades of Blue, subtitled Miles Davis, John Coltrane, Bill Evans, and the Lost Empire of Cool. Now, Mr. Kaplan, you know, on community radio, we ask all sorts of questions. Some may be a little provocative within our sphere.
Please.
I got another one. Well, because, you know, and it's raised by the end of your subtitle, The Lost Empire of Cool. And, you know,
yes. We
have a debate actually within some of the DJs here at community radio in Chapel Hill over cool jazz.
Yes.
Smooth jazz and
then
classic jazz.
Yeah.
And there is some sense among some people maybe of there were divisions. You know, every culture has its own little internecine scene. And
amongst jazz,
there's some debate about whether some of these forms are real jazz. And
yes.
Who's really cool and what's cool jazz?
Yes.
Do you have any input on this debate?
I do, and I have. And Dave, I will confess to you that I have my own internal divisions about this very subject. There are. I listen to jazz every night in my kitchen. My wife and I, as we're preparing dinner together, love to listen to jazz. And there are jazz radio stations we listen to. And sometimes, either on a Spotify playlist or on a radio station, we find ourselves in a patch of what might be called smooth jazz. And sometimes it falls pleasantly on my ears, and sometimes not so much. You know, Dizzy Gillespie, in speaking about the great album that Miles produced, the Nonet album back in the late 1940s, called The Birth of the Cool, Dizzy Gillespie was very skeptical about that brand of jazz at first. Gil Evans, the great arranger, great Canadian arranger, and Miles collaborated on that, and so many other great musicians were involved, Jerry Mulligan, Johnny Carisi, and on and on. That was arranged jazz. That was written down on charts ahead of time. It is beautiful to listen to. It's great music. Dizzy Gillespie was skeptical at first, and he felt, and I can't quote him exactly, because we're on community radio, and so we have to be a little genteel about our language, but Dizzy Gillespie felt that that cool jazz didn't sweat enough. He put it a little more pungently than that. And he felt that real jazz was about sweat. I like that definition. I like to think of jazz and sweat. I like to think of the spit valves of trumpets and trombones opening up and bodily fluids coming out and great musicians on the bandstand with their foreheads glistening with the effort of producing great music. So sometimes when I hear smooth jazz, those things don't run through my mind, and I feel a little rebellious about it. Other times I hear it, and it's great great dinner music, you know?
Wow, James Kaplan, author of Three Shades of Blue. What a way to wrap an interview on jazz here on community radio. I don't know if you've settled the debate. You probably helped make the debate even more divisive. But,
Hope so.
Okay. I want to thank you for taking the time to talk to us here on Between the Covers on WCOV.
It's my great pleasure, Dave. Thank you so much.
All right. Again, this is Tofu Dave here on Between the Covers, another literature quickie on your community radio station, 103.5 Capitol Hill at Carver. See you next time.